Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I would invite you to go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. I want us to begin with a thought here, or I guess I should say a statement of Christ in Matthew chapter 4. As we were just in Luke 4, Matthew 4 and Luke 4 parallel each other. They both give the account of the temptations of Christ and how he was tempted of Satan. And then we also see the beginning of Christ preaching right before the Beatitudes, right before the Sermon on the Mount, kind of sets the groundwork. And in doing so, he needs to call his apostles, those that would follow after him. And we see in verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting nets. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." I'm going to change your occupation. You're going to go from fishing for fish to fishing for souls. But key in verse 30 or verse 20, straightway or immediately, they left their nets and followed him. I want to talk about what it means to follow Christ. And here is a great example of two brothers. Now, we learn from John's account, they had been looking for the Messiah. And they literally went to work that morning thinking it was going to be like every other work day, where they've mended the nets if there were holes in them. They've cast out, they're fishing, going to bring it in, sell it, go to bed, wake up the next day, do the same thing. Well, here we see it was a different day because Christ intervened and he says, "Follow me," but notice they did. I don't read of them questioning. I want to talk about following Christ and what does that mean for our time before us. First and foremost, we need to realize to follow after Christ means I must forsake my old life. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I can't keep living that old lifestyle. It is not a possibility if I want to be pleasing to God. Too many times people want to be a Christian, but they don't want to change their lifestyle. You can't have one without the other. You must change your lifestyle. Notice what Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," the prepositional phrase, in Christ, he's talking about a Christian, one that has decided to follow Christ. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I always think about butterflies in this passage because a butterfly was a caterpillar. And it goes in that cocoon and its whole structure of its body changes. And it comes out of that cocoon, a butterfly, a beautiful, not that caterpillars aren't pretty, but butterflies are a whole lot nicer to look at, in my opinion. You never go to a zoo or aquarium that has a caterpillar room, but they have butterfly rooms because they're beautiful to look at. We must forsake, behold, all things are become new. If I want to follow Christ, I've got to leave that old life behind me and live anew. That's number one. Let's go to the book of John. John 21, right there at the end. Almost in Acts, but as close to being in Acts you can be without being in it. John 21 and verse 22. If I'm going to follow Christ, that means I must be obedient to God's word. Plain and simple, right? It's his word. If I want to follow him, I must be obedient. Notice chapter 21 and verse 22. Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." He is talking to Peter and having Peter's questioning him, and he's going to get to that whole, "Lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep." He's just said that. Peter's still questioning. And Christ says, "You know what? You don't worry about all this over here. You follow me. You do what I have told you to do, and don't worry about the things around you, and you'll do well." We as a Christian, although it may seem obvious, we need to be obedient to what God has said as we continue to live for him. That's second. You need to forsake the old. You must be obedient. But let's go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. I love this passage. Right there at the end of Luke chapter 9. in verse 62. If I want to follow Christ, I don't need to be looking behind me. I don't need to be looking behind me. And I love the way that Christ, being the master teacher, he taught so his audience could understand. Primarily, the audience of Christ were farmers, they were shepherds, they were cattlemen, along that line of work. And so it was something they could understand. Notice what he says. He's had a passage of calling people to follow him, and one says, well, I'd like to go, but I need to go bury the dead. Now, really, he's saying, I need to be here so when my family dies, I can bury them. It's not like they were on death's door. There was probably a prolonged period. Another says, I'm trying to go out and find a wife, and this and that. Notice what Jesus says, verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Think about that imagery. You're out there, whether you're on a tractor today or you've got mules or whatever, but if you're trying to do a straight line and you look behind you, that line's going to deviate no matter how hard you try. No man putting his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, because your lines are going to do this, and that's going to be a terrible garden. You might as well just replow it and try to start over. Yet too many times Christians, they want to follow Christ, and they put their hand to the plow and they get 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 feet, years in as being a Christian, and then they start looking back that old life, and that's when they start to swerve. No man, he said, there's not a caveat, it's no man. We must not look back. You know, when I think about looking back, of course, comes to my mind is Lot's wife. We know that story in Genesis 19. She's mentioned one time in the New Testament in Luke, and it's remember Lot's wife, because she turned to look at that old life behind her. That's number three.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Instead, let's look at number four. Go to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since I'm not to be looking behind me, I need to be looking then on Christ. If I'm not to be looking at what's behind me, I need to focus on what's in front of me. And since I am doing my best to follow Christ, I need to be looking unto Jesus. Notice the first two verses of Hebrews 12. The Hebrew writer has just given you a masterclass summary of faith with the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. And he says, all these, I love this at the end, verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. Everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 was working for a faithful home with God, although they had never seen heaven. But by faith, they acted upon that faith every time. Now notice how he continues chapter 12. Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have all these great examples. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice, he says, you have all this encouragement. Lay aside what will beset you. I have friends in my life, I think they're crazy, because they purposely want to go out and run 26.2 miles at a time for fun. They like to go out and do marathons. I know sometimes they do it for a great cause. I'm not a marathon runner, but I guarantee you if I took up the sport, I would not be running in dress shoes and a three-piece suit, because that would be cumbersome, and I would not try to carry a backpack and a briefcase. I'm going to try to wear the lightest material and have as little on my person as possible so that does not stop me in my race. He says, lay aside every sin, the weight that does so easily beset us, and run with patience. It's not a sprint. It is a long haul. But you look to Jesus. Now, these crazy friends of mine tell me, because once again, I don't do it, but they tell me that when they're running out of steam, if you can see the finish line, it's easier to finish. because that's your motivation. Oh, if I can just run another mile, if I can just run a half a mile, if I cross that line, I can pass out and everything's good. We, our finish line is Jesus. He's standing there at the finish line. He's ready to receive us. We must run with patience. So we don't look behind, but we look to Jesus. I find it interesting, in every automobile, you have a very big windshield and a small rearview mirror, because you're supposed to be looking forward, not back. What else about following Christ, dear friends? It is to the end. Notice Philippians 3, 13 and 14. We follow Christ onward to the end. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Doesn't it seem like Paul realizes that that's his finish line? He presses on to the end. And if anybody would look back in their past and find things that would weigh them down in the race as a Christian, I guarantee you it would be Paul. Because I've got recorded some of the stuff that he did. But he says, "I forget those things. I lay aside that sin which does so easily beset me." He says, "I press toward, I keep going onward to the end." And this is written from a man who's in prison, and he is longing for that end. So we go onward to the end. And let's close out in Mark chapter 13. When I follow Christ, I'm going to be watching unto prayer. Watching unto prayer. We're going to find a phrase here in Mark chapter 13 which shows up frequently in the songs that we sing, at least some of this here. Mark 13 in verse 33. Mark 13, 33. "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." Now he's talking about his return. So we might say, "Watch and pray, for you know not the hour when the Lord shall come." Watch and pray and be ready to enter the soul's bright home. We as a Christian, as we follow Christ, we must continue to watch, be ready, and couple that with prayer, an active communication with God. I talk to Him through prayer. He talks to me through His Word. That's how that little communication thing goes. I talk to Him and His Word tells me how to live. Jesus Christ calls us to follow Him. And in doing so, we must be willing to forsake our old life, to leave it behind and not go back to it, to be obedient to what He has said. And we find in every instance of Scripture, Old and New Testament combined, God would give specific commands for those who wanted to be obedient to Him, and they better follow all the commands. You find that as we've been studying in Noah. You find that throughout Abraham. You find that throughout the Old Law. You find that in the New Testament. God gives specific commands, and we best follow them to a T. I don't need to be looking behind. I need to be looking to Jesus, on to the end, coupling that with watching and praying. Well, that makes me glad that I have a Christ who is willing to die for me, one that is willing to allow me to follow Him. But I need to be doing that. Maybe you're not following Christ. Well, first you do that by becoming obedient, by becoming a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. If you haven't done that, we encourage you to do so. If you are a Christian, we encourage you to continue running that race with patience. We encourage you to keep your eyes on the prize, that eternal home in heaven. And if sin is into your life, to repent of that sin, to get back in a right relationship with our Lord. If you need to be restored, prayers for strength, we'd be glad to help you with that as well. Confessing your sin, He will forgive, 1 John 1 and verse 9. We encourage you to continue following Christ, whatever stage of life you may be in.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.